about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Check, check, 1, 2. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Yeah, so, ha 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 ha.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I like both. I keep about 800 to 1,000 rolls of both kinds of toilet paper in my house in case of emergencies. You never know when 800 people might stop by. Last week, I invited about 600 of my closest friends to the house for a little get-together. Nothing too serious, just some drinks and burgers. You know, kind of casual. It was a typical Sunday afternoon in the Burgundy household. My neighbor Kevin called the cops as per usual. And as per usual, the cops stayed for dinner. Anyway, that's a funny story that talks about toilet paper from Charmin.
And now,
how much damage are you guys doing to your beeholes?
Our feature presentation.
That's a good question, right?
It's a valuable question.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 33rd of February.
I think that's about right.
Just to pay off. Pay off the joke Bean was talking about.
I love it.
It's the 5th of March.
Why is it always the neighbor Kevin who calls the police on Ron Burgundy's house party?
I don't know. The bad guy in everything seems to be Kevin.
The bad guy, the dumb guy.
The dumb guy special.
Yeah.
What is that about?
The bad radio guy. Like, it's just every situation.
Honestly, I don't know. I've never seen anything like it where it's just...
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
I don't know. It just seems to have become part of society. The dumb guy, the annoying guy, is Kevin.
It's such a normal name, too. That's weird. How long until it just becomes a thing where we go, oh, that guy, he's a Kevin?
That's already a thing.
Yeah, that's a thing.
I'm late to the party.
There's even a Reddit group on dumb things people named Kevin do, you know, or annoying friends named Kevin or whatever it's called.
Okay, so I have a follow-up on that.
Okay. Yes.
Are there any Reddit groups for any other name? You know, dumb things that people named Steve.
I mean, I think Kevin is the catch-all.
That's what I'm afraid of.
All right, but I mean, there are it's weird. I'd love to know how it started because there are obviously some very good Kevins. There's Kevin Costner, for instance.
Yeah.
There's Kevin Spacey. He'll never do anything bad.
Come on.
Kevin Eubanks from the Tonight Show Band.
Kevin Richardson from the Backstreet Boys. I mean, there are some Kevins who are respected and admired.
Yeah. Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yep. Racist guy, right. or is he the homophobic one? Which one is he? I can't keep him straight anymore. I think he was the homophobic one. You know what? Now that you mentioned it, a couple of the celebrity Kevins have had their troubles too, haven't they?
I don't get it.
It's spreading, Kevin. Yeah. Look out.
It's just a matter of time before your scandal breaks.
Well, I got plenty of them, so let's pick one and let's get it over with.
Tiny Munchkin voice is our friend Brad Williams, once again filling in for Ally McKay. She's been out sick. We have been in contact with her. We hope she's going to be due back tomorrow is the plan anyway, but we'll see how it goes. But Brad, let me say in advance, we appreciate you very much stepping in today on short notice.
So I'm not a permanent employee?
I mean, technically you're pretty close. You should fill out a timesheet.
I was told I was going to get health care. That's the only reason why I'm here.
Let's see if Ally recovers. There may be a slot open. All right, here's the thing today, and I find this fascinating. It's weird. I don't watch a lot of the medical shows on TV, and I should. The real life medical ER shows. I really should because I am fascinated with surgery, and I'm fascinated with medicine. I'm fascinated with the things that doctors do and stuff that comes in through the doors that they have to deal with. Here's a gunshot victim that arrived at a trauma center in British Columbia. Doctors thought it was going to be a pretty straightforward case. She was a 39-year-old woman. She was even responsive at first. She was talking. She had been shot at close range with a shotgun. But again, it looked like something that they were going to be able to handle. It didn't seem life-threatening at all. Bullet fragments had lodged in her chest and her abdomen, but none appeared life-threatening. They did x-rays and found a variety of metal around the patient's body. They thought it was keys and cell phones and the like. Doctors figured those were items inside the pockets of the jacket she was wearing, but they weren't. It was some other metal inside her body that they couldn't figure out. The woman's breathing began deteriorating rapidly. She was immediately intubated, rushed into an operating room where doctors made an alarming discovery after they cut into her body.
When the
this
surgeons...
doesn't involve a giant like animal or something, does it?
Sometimes it does.
Oh,
you know?
Please tell me.
Sometimes
no.
it's a tapeworm.
Yeah,
but this is metal, Kevin.
Okay.
When the surgeons opened her, quote, "This thing just literally sprang up 90 degrees," said the anesthesiologist on the case. It appeared to be a metal wire, sharply curved, measuring half chest in length, but no one could positively identify it at first.
Robo tapeworm?
The surgeon thought it might be some kind of a detonation device. They summoned in a nearby police officer. Police officer examined the wire, said it didn't look like any sort of explosive he was familiar with. Still, they began to evacuate the operating room out of an abundance of caution.
All right, so wait, so she did get shot?
Yes.
And then they discovered all of this after?
All of this metal in her body after the fact, yes. Yeah, she was shot at close range with a shotgun, bullet fragments in her chest and abdomen. But what's all this other metal? Now they've already evacuated the emergency room. They've already called in the bomb squad. What was it?
What was the metal that was in her that shot up 90 degrees?
The television antenna? I don't know.
Okay. Television antenna. It's on the board.
Look, I'm just going to say it's not that.
We surveyed 100 people. Yeah. Is television antenna on the board?
What piece of metal?
What could it be?
I don't know. A sword.
As the
transformer
operating room was being evacuated, a nurse came in and said, "Hey, that's an underwire from a bra."
What?
The doctor took a closer look at the patient's clothing, which had been hastily removed only after she'd become unstable and was rushed into the operating room. And sure enough, the wire from her bra was missing. Doctors later speculated that the force of the shotgun pellets had propelled the underwire into her body, where it did incredible damage. "I couldn't believe the sharpness on those edges on the underwire," said the doctor. "It was like a scythe, truly." Is it scythe or scythe, by the way, or scythe?
You're not talking to the right
people. I think scythe, but I don't know.
I think scythe, too. Specifically, the bra wire horizontally transected the patient's stomach in half, took off the left lobe of her liver, lacerated her diaphragm, and nicked her aorta.
Holy crap.
Wow. Partial liver resurrection and near total gastrectomy. Gastrectomy.
Again, I'm sorry to get that.
Yeah. What was that?
I think I was right the first time. I think it's a gastrectomy. We're required to control the bleeding. Although the patient did make a complete recovery, she spent nearly 2 weeks in the intensive care unit, and the injuries that threatened her life were caused by the bra wire, not the bullet fragments. There's no question in anyone's minds that wearing the underwire bra was what exponentially increased her injury pattern.
That is insane.
It's a crazy case. I mean, look. I care about the ladies, and I have advocated for years to do away with bras. I mean, that has been my...
Because they're a danger. For their own good.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's been the hill I've been willing to die on. I know it's been unpopular, but I've said, ladies, with the bras already, stop it.
You're a modern feminist.
You're a human target out there. What are you doing? I would just like to present this as further evidence that I was right again.
This seems like one of those news stories where they go like, "Is your bra killing you?"
Sure.
Watch at 11.
It's 9 a.m. 11 p.m. tonight. Yeah. Hey, what if it kills me between now and 11 p.m.?
A little heads up now, maybe. They did research medical literature for similar cases and found only one, an incident from around 50 years ago where it happened in France, a similar story in France. So it doesn't happen often, but ladies, you can't be too careful.
Can't risk it.
So I'm saying leave that bra on the table by the front door before you leave the house today, and you'll live the rest of the day.
That's some pretty good advice. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
The last thing we need to do is to monkey this up.
We have Gavin Rosdale coming in the studio.
Hell yeah.
From Bush.
Love him.
Love him too. Nicest guy in the world.
He sure is.
I have never met him before, so nice. I'm very excited.
It was crazy. He was at an event yesterday for Marvel's movie, and he was walking around shaking everybody's hand like people who were working there. He would walk up to them and just say, "Just want to say thanks." Really
wow.
Something. Yeah.
Good dude.
So well, the rap on him has always been, he's great to his fans, great to everybody.
Right.
Just a genuinely nice guy. And he's been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to be nice anymore, but he still is.
What do we do now with Michael Jackson's music?
We talked about it a little bit during What's Happening yesterday, but I think today we need to open it up now that both episodes of Leaving Neverland have aired and maybe some people's opinions have changed. When you go to the next wedding and they put on Billie Jean, do you dance? Do you feel good about it? Or does it seem icky? I guess that's what we're going to discuss.
Yeah, that's a weird discussion.
And I don't think there's a simple answer, but I think no one's better qualified than us to make a ruling.
That's how we usually do.
Yeah.
We're completely unqualified, and we rule definitively. That's our talent.
We're dug in on our opinions.
Right. Yeah. No one can change our mind. And from Captain Marvel, I got to interview Brie Larson.
Ooh.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Wow.
Clark Gregg.
Holy moly.
And Ben Mendelsohn.
He's a baddie.
He is a baddie. So we got that for you coming up this morning at 7 o'clock as well. So we'll take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
So glad we got through that Monday yesterday because Brad, God bless him.
You mean Dr. Doom?
Yeah, he was filling in for Ali yesterday, and it wasn't his fault, but everything in the news was bad news. And I thought, well, we survived it. Now it's a new, fresh day, and I'm excited that Brad is back, and now he can do what he really does, which is to entertain.
Yes.
And to make us laugh.
Yes.
And to make us happy and to bring us glad tidings.
That's right.
What do you got?
That's what we do. All right, here we go. First story. Oh, come on! Damn it! This happened right as we got off the air. Yesterday, actor Luke Perry passed away. And for anyone who grew up in the 90s, this is... I mean, you say grew up in the 90s, but at the same time, he's the dad on Riverdale.
Yeah.
So...
He's beloved by two generations of TV watchers.
At least. And this came as a shock to everyone. It was one of those gut punchers. But then at the same time,
Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah, last Wednesday he suffered a stroke and
They called it a massive stroke.
A massive stroke.
Which is what scared me.
Yeah.
He never came out of the coma.
And strokes are one of those things where when they happen, they could lead to this or you could be fine. You don't know.
Yeah.
And it just depends on the size of the stroke. It depends on how it affects you, how you respond to it. And Luca,
let me tell you,
let me
piggyback on your comment there, Brad, because it didn't make much news, but the legendary rock and roller Jerry Lee Lewis, who's well into his mid-80s, also had a stroke this week. He's going to be fine.
Yeah.
He's in his mid-80s.
Mid-80s.
Had a stroke, and he's going to be fine. Luke Perry... 52,
right.
Killed them. So they're very unpredictable and so tragic and so sudden.
Colin Hanks shared a really great Luke Perry story on Twitter.
That's nice.
Friend of the show.
Colin
Hanks. And what he said is that he was on an airplane one time and there were two children that were fighting and screaming and crying the whole time. And, I mean, we've all been on planes where that's happened and everyone just kind of goes, oh, boy. Like, this is...
Everyone's miserable.
Haul. Yeah, and the parents are miserable, too, because they're trying, but it's not working. And these kids scream for about an hour, and all of a sudden, out of first class, pops in Luke Perry...
And says, shut up!
takes out two balloons from his pocket...
What?
Makes them into a shape, kind of does a clown routine.
Is he a clown?
Yeah. Gives the balloons to the kids... They shut up for the rest of the flight.
If I were on that plane, I would have applauded.
Standing O.
That's amazing.
Colin Hanks says to Luke Perry, like, where did you learn that? And he goes, and apparently Luke Perry says, A, it's a game changer. And B, he says he takes balloons on every flight for that purpose.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I just thought, we all know him from Beverly Hills 90210 and from Riverdale. But I thought that was a really nice story that really kind of sums up who this guy was as a person.
Yeah.
He was genuinely kind.
He's one of those guys who there was so much love on social media from people who knew him, met him, worked with him, and everybody just loved that dude.
Yeah.
Everybody loved that dude.
Okay. We got through it, everybody.
So that's you bringing us good news today?
Sorry. Well, we got through that one,
okay.
So let's see. That should be the only thing about.
Okay, good.
What, King Kong Bundy died?
Come on! Brad!
King Kong Bundy!
I'm sorry, I don't know who that is.
Wrestler!
Oh,
King
okay.
Kong Bundy! He was in the first WrestleMania! King Kong Bundy!
And the second, right? Didn't he wrestle Hulk Hogan?
He wrestled Hulk Hogan! King Kong Bundy! King Kong Bundy.
I don't feel the same passion that Luke Perry had.
There. You know what? It is... I kind of braced myself for it because yesterday, after Keith from Prodigy and after Luke Perry, I go, here we go. We're going to hear someone that goes like, oh, it always happens in threes.
Yeah, I hate those people.
It's happening in threes. At any point, if you search far enough, you're like, the fifth lead from The Wizard of Oz died.
See?
Yeah, you'll find something.
Yeah, some actor from Sanford and Son died this week. There's your third.
Yeah. So and obviously we're not downplaying the deaths of these people to whom their loved ones or to whom their fans meant a lot. But yeah, King Kong Bundy died. He was 61 years old, 6'4", 458 pounds.
Wow.
One of the fastest victories in WrestleMania history. WrestleMania 1, he won his match in 9 seconds. His finisher was the Avalanche Splash. King Kong Bundy!
Hey, upbeat.
Yeah.
I don't think I like Brad doing what's happening.
I know. We need somebody with better news, Brad.
All right.
Look, your material's great on stage, but here on the radio, it needs some work, son.
I'm talking King Kong Bundy, though.
Okay, we got it. King Kong Bundy, yes. We're very sad.
And let's see. Any more bad news I can bring to you?
Oh, please, no.
Yep, here's one. Blink-182 is probably going to break up soon.
Don't put that out there.
Why?
Because one of their members is dating whatever this family touches turns to crap.
Kardashian.
Travis Barker
is dating.
Is rumored to be dating Kourtney Kardashian. So
Travis will be strong enough to work right through that.
I mean, the man has survived a plane crash. Mm-hmm. But can he survive the Kardashians?
I'm saying yes.
I mean, we all hope so. Fingers crossed. I mean, give the drummer some.
Here's what I'm going to say about Travis. On the surface, our initial reaction would be, for anybody else, would be run. Get the hell out of there. Don't have anything to do with it. Travis has got a pretty good radar.
Yeah.
And a pretty good read on people. And he only associates with good people. He only associates with kind, nice people. That's just who he is.
And I'll take it a step further. He's probably going to make the Kardashians better.
Yeah.
Before he realizes that he needs to get out.
So he's like the penicillin that's going to
infiltrate
much. The Kardashians?
I think so.
I think this is a win, yeah.
Here's the thing. They've known each other for years, and their kids are friends. So you can kind of see how this could slowly...
Sure.
Be something. But then at the same time, I will say this. Kourtney, if you watch the Kardashians, she, despite Scott Disick, is the quote-unquote good one.
I think so, too.
Like, you don't hear too many things about her. She's a good mom. And so, our best. And I swear. If
Blink is fine.
If Kourtney Yoko owns
Blink-182. Not going to happen.
I will burn this mother down.
Not going to happen.
You can't even reach this mother.
I will fight you. Let's get to some celebrity birthdays. Despite all the bad news, these stars hopefully are having a happy day. One of our best friends of the show, magician Penn Jillette, it's his birthday today. Eva Mendes. All the bells. Where are the bells?
We don't do bells anymore, Brad. But
she
yes,
deserves she, bells.
She does. Astonishingly beautiful.
All the bells.
And who's she married to? She's married to somebody. She
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, that's right.
Just those two?
Yeah, just those two making gorgeous kids.
Yep.
Fellow dwarf Kevin Connolly from Entourage. It's his birthday today. And the reason why we should all be celebrating, the reason why no matter what bad news is happening, it will never be a bad day. It is Eddie Grant's birthday today. Electric Avenue. Yeah. And then we'll take it higher. Come on. Can't be in a bad mood.
Right?
Eddie Grant, singer from Electric Avenue. Come on. It is your birthday. You celebrate. I'm Brad Williams filling in for Alan.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
If I understand correctly, by the way, and I could be wrong, Eddie Vedder is the one who kind of puts this Ohana Fest together every year. He's actively involved in lining up the acts that are going to be playing. And this year, it's September 27th through the 29th, and the Strokes are among those who are performing, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Incubus, and so much more. We're giving away tickets all week here on the Kevin DeBean Show at 9 a.m., and then we've got them all over the day here at K-Rock, including noon, 3, and 6 p.m. Three-day passage to the Ohana Festival, Doheny State Beach, September 27th through the 29th. You can head to KROQ.com for another chance to win and all the details. Hey, Brad.
Hello.
In for Allie McKay. What's happening?
Allie is out. I'm an in. I am in. I am in.
You're an innie.
I'm a professional broadcaster.
You speak for a living.
I'm sitting too close to you, Kevin.
Right?
It is bleeding in.
It's catchy.
Well, maybe just because I'm so torn up because, once again, I have to deliver bad news over these darn airwaves.
Why don't you try to find some good news somewhere?
I'm searching.
All right. Yeah, there are fun things happening.
Not a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, of course, everyone is still talking about the unfortunate and certainly untimely death of Luke Perry yesterday. If there is any silver lining, and it's hard to find that.
Yeah.
It's that now people are... One of the trending topics yesterday on Twitter was stroke and stroke prevention. And now people are looking up, like, how can a man who seemed very healthy and who looked as good as Luke Perry did die of a stroke at age 52? It's mind-boggling. But now you start doing a little bit more research and you find out, yeah, stroke is the second leading cause of death in the country.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Of course, the stereotype is that it only happens to old people. But as we saw yesterday, yeah, it can happen to younger people. And risk factors for stroke include high blood pressure, if you smoke, if you have diabetes, high blood cholesterol, obesity, and any other cardiovascular diseases. So get checked out. Make sure that you're dieting. Make sure that you have low blood pressure. And these are all things to be aware of. But yes, RIP Luke Perry.
We don't know what was going on inside his body in terms of blood pressure and cholesterol.
Right.
But I mean, he never stopped working out. He always looked buff and healthy.
Yeah. And we just don't know. But it certainly came as a shock to everyone, and of course our condolences go out to friends and family.
Absolutely.
I do want to do one transition into something that I really enjoyed. Jensen is not here, but I feel like I should do a little, forgive me, mini version of Get Up on This.
Okay.
Because there is a documentary on Netflix that, Kevin, these are your people.
All right. Keep going. I'm listening.
The name of the documentary is Behind the Curve.
Behind the Curve.
It is a flat earth documentary.
Oh, yes. Now I'm in.
It is on Netflix.
Oh, this is great. These are your people, Bean, too.
It follows around it follows around flat earthers.
That's fantastic.
They have a flat earther convention.
Yes, they do.
People go.
Yep.
My favorite part of the documentary: two different times, the flat earthers perform scientific experiments to prove that the earth is flat. The experiments fail.
Wow.
And they're still like, well, this isn't conclusive.
It's crazy that in this year, there are so many people that still believe that.
Yes!
It's crazy.
And apparently there's wars within the flat earth community.
Sure.
Oh, really?
Oh,
about how flat it is?
Yeah.
Are there some people who don't believe in mountains either?
It is amazing because some people think that some other flat earthers are implanted from the CIA because one flat earther's name is Patricia. Patricia's last three letters of the name Patricia, CIA.
Sure.
Obviously, she's a plant.
That.
So she's trying to infiltrate the flat earthers and stop the truth from getting out there.
Is it on now?
There's a lot of people that have different ideas on what the flat earth is. But what one thing we all agree on is that we don't live on a spinning ball flying through infinite space.
Right. You feel yourself spinning, wobbling, gyrating? No, I'm pretty rock solid.
We always say, don't believe us. Do your own research. But unless you know there's a question, you're not going to do the research.
I mean, you can't argue with any of that, right?
Yes, it is on now.
It's science.
I can't.
It's on now. All right.
I can't recommend this film enough.
That's awesome.
Brad, we covered the rapper B.O.B. when he was raising money because he wanted to send a satellite up so he could see for himself because he didn't trust the millions of photos that have been taken from outside of Earth.
By the way, he wasn't trying to prove it was round. He was trying to prove it was flat and tell everybody to shut up.
Yeah. Here's a little bit of his pitch.
What's up, y'all? It's Flat Earth Bob here. I'm starting this GoFundMe because I would like to send one, if not multiple, satellites as far into space as I can, or into orbit as I can, to find the curve. I'm looking for the curve.
You understand there isn't an orbit unless the Earth is round. That's what causes the orbit flat Earth.
You don't know that, Bean. That's what the government wants you to believe.
You don't need to tell Kevin. He's an expert on satellites.
Oh, I think we have some proof of that, don't we?
How dare you?
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
He wants to put his own satellites in space to prove that the Earth is flat.
Do satellites go in space?
Yeah, of course
they
do.
Where do you think they go, Kevin?
Was that a legitimate question, Kevin?
No, I think they're in the orbit.
Where do you think the orbit is?
All right, let's move on.
How could I take the headline away from B.O.B.?
Where let's do you think the orbit around a planet is?
In space, of course. Don't be ridiculous.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Why is Kevin not in this documentary?
That's my question. You should be the main guest.
All right, take it easy.
All right. And Kevin.
Yes.
You're our resident hip-hop
am I?
Guru, being that Jensen's out. Are you familiar with the rapper Young Dolph?
I am not.
His hit song was Cut It, and he may have to have a GoFundMe page now.
Oh, no, why?
Because he just got $500,000 in jewelry stolen out of his car.
What is he doing with $500,000 worth of jewelry in his car?
Even better was where it was stolen.
Where?
Out of the parking lot of a Cracker Barrel in Georgia.
This story has everything.
And it's not done. It's not done. So he goes to eat at the Cracker Barrel. Somebody comes in and says, hey, man, your windows are smashed out. I think someone got into your car. And I don't know how they found his car because it's a camouflage-painted Mercedes-Benz SUV.
Love it.
Obviously, the camouflage did not work. Here's what he got stolen. One watch that was worth $230,000.
That's insane.
Two diamond chains at $57,000 and $27,000. Another watch for $85,000. Cartier sunglasses for $24,000. A Glock handgun, Pirelli backpack, his iPad, and his MacBook.
Holy
I'm sorry, how much were those sunglasses again?
$24,000.
Okay, I've been doing it wrong.
No, no, you've been doing it right.
How do you have 500 grand just and you're just casually eating lunch at a Cracker Barrel?
Yeah.
I don't get that.
He was told his car was broken into, but he had to stop and buy stuff in that little store before he went out and checked on it.
The peg game? Yeah. I get nervous after I do a show. I sell a couple t-shirts, and I got like $200 cash on me. I'm like, I gotta put this away somewhere.
Yep.
How are you driving around with 500 grand?
I can't imagine.
If you see Young Dolph today, give him a nickel. Do something. He needs help. Let's get to some celebrity birthdays, everybody. Magician, comedian Penn Jillette, it is his birthday today. Eva Mendes, which I'm proposing we bring back the bell just for Eva Mendes.
Well, she certainly deserves it.
Absolutely. Kevin Connolly from Entourage, it's his birthday today. And of course, it wouldn't be a party without celebrating Eddie Grant's birthday today.
We're gonna rock. Woo! To Electric Avenue. And then we take it higher.
That's what you do. It's basically the Kevin Bean party machine right now. Yeah! Eddie Grant, happy birthday. And that I'm filling in for Ally McKay. I'm Brad.
I said we were going to interview the cast of Captain Marvel.
Yeah, where's my Brie Larson, man? Come on, where's my Sam Jackson?
And we are. Uh-huh. Just, I said 7 instead of 7:30.
Okay.
So sometimes I get confused.
Look, I have come to depend on your Twitter as being rock solid information. Seriously, whatever you put up, I'm ready to tattoo onto my body as being fat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the cast of Captain Marvel at 7:30.
7:30.
Yes. Okay. Not so much.
So you 7. Lied to us, Kevin.
I did lie, yeah.
And all they right. were charming and delightful yep. and enthusiastic, and by all accounts, the movie is great. So I'm really, really
it.
Looking forward to that.
And it is great.
Oh,
and,
fantastic.
And some jets flew over Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's true.
That's incredible.
It was crazy.
That was quite a coup getting Oscar winner Brie Larson to play Captain Marvel, too. That seems like perfect casting.
Yeah, I agree.
From what I know about it. We need to revisit a topic that we spoke with Brad yesterday, filling in for Allie on what's happening, about Leaving Neverland, the HBO documentary that has caused so much discussion as we kind of revisit the case of Michael Jackson versus the kids. He's been gone 10 years now already, by the way.
Wow.
And that may change the way some people feel about it because he's no longer around. This isn't a Kevin Spacey situation where you go, well, there's a dude that needs to be punished. You know what I mean? There's nothing right. you can do to Michael Jackson. He's gone. But the discussion that we were having yesterday on the air, and we decided it was worth bringing back today, was about you, the listener. How do you feel about listening to Michael Jackson music now? It's such a big part of all of our lives, whether we ever put it on ourselves or not. There's not going to come a time where you don't encounter Michael Jackson because he's one of the biggest, most popular yeah. musical artists in the history of the world.
We always say, can you separate the artist from the person? Mm-hmm. And in some cases, it's not possible.
Yeah. I mean, look at what's happening with Facebook. Facebook proven to be like so much stuff that they've done wrong, and yet we're all just like, all right, I'm going to keep using it. I mean,
all good.
United Airlines dragged that guy off the airline. Everyone's like, oh, I'll never fly United again. But everyone's flying United because they have to. And I think Michael Jackson sort of crosses into that area where it's like he's just a part. He's a part of human life. He's that famous.
Yeah.
It's hard to avoid it.
But you know who's still here are the victims.
Correct.
And so that's what makes it difficult for me.
Right.
That does make a difference because, you know, I mentioned yesterday Bing Crosby was my example of everybody's dad in the stories of his child. You know, he abused his kids badly, but they're all gone. So can we enjoy White Christmas now? Charles Dickens was a terrible person. He cheated on his wife with an 18-year-old and then had his perfectly healthy wife committed to an insane asylum to get rid of her. She ended up eventually getting out and dying penniless.
Hold
but that
on,
doesn't mean
notes.
we're not going to watch A Christmas Carol. You know what I mean? We're not going to read the great Charles Dickens books. I mean, we do tend to look past the bad parts of an artist when it comes to wanting to enjoy their artistry. But Michael Jackson is a completely different case. Brad, you mentioned yesterday, Chris Brown has been canceled for you. There's no way you ever voluntarily listen to a Chris Brown song.
I can't, but yet I can listen to a Frank Sinatra song who allegedly did some of the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know that's hypocritical. And, I mean, my defense is that Frank Sinatra's music was way better than Chris Brown's music. I mean,
that's the same in this case, where Michael Jackson has maybe one of the best albums of all time.
Yeah, yeah where you
and
just
and still
look
the
at
best-selling
the
album of all time. Yep. If Allie were here, and R.I.P. Allie, by the way, we missed her.
Sure.
She's just sick. She'll be back.
Yep.
She has a very black, no pun intended, Michael Jackson, black and white policy on this, which is when she learns about the people that are, you know, doing the bad things, you know, whether it's a Kevin Spacey or whether it's an R. Kelly, she just cuts them out of her life. And there's no gray area. Doesn't matter how much she enjoys them. She did it with the New England Patriots. She got to the point where the Patriots, she's like, look, I don't like the way they're running their organization. I don't like the way they treat domestic violence. I don't like the way they, you know, they are ignoring the brain injuries of their players. She's a lifelong Patriots fan. She's like, I'm done with them. And she didn't watch a single game last season.
Yeah, not just them, the whole NFL.
Yeah.
The whole NFL. So she's able to do that. Most of us aren't. Most of us aren't willing to give up something that we really, really enjoy just because it gives us some icky feelings about something that person did. So we want to take your calls and find out if, especially this week with Leaving Neverland, if it has changed your mind on how you feel about Michael Jackson. You go to a wedding, you hear a little bit of this come on. People always told me, be careful
what you do. Don't go around. Does everybody walk off the dance floor now?
That's what I'm wondering. Or does everybody say, ooh, Michael Jackson, problematic, but man, listen to that. How could I not get out there and shake that ass?
You know, what do you do? How do you feel about it?
Well, because I don't think it's going to ever bring you the same joy that it did before now that these details
It will are... be the first thing in your mind when you hear a song
yeah.
of his.
As Absolutely. You're, as Especially you're dancing now, yeah. to it, smiling, you're like, ah, that was messed up.
And as I mentioned yesterday, by the way, does it apply to all Michael Jackson songs? Can you still enjoy the Jackson 5? If you hear right. I Want You Back or ABC when he's 11, he wasn't doing any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Although he was having that stuff done to him, if you believe, you know, some of the stories about his father. But is that okay? So I don't know, man. There's a lot of gray area there, but this is where we kind of need to hear from you. Are your feelings about Michael Jackson changing as a result of the new reports on the HBO documentary? Or did your feelings change a long time ago because, you know, when the trials happened and the payoffs happened, you decided back then that there was no more Michael Jackson in your life?
There are a lot of people who just assumed that he was guilty of everything he was being charged with.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And seems like may have been right.
Yeah.
But they made that decision a long time ago.
Yeah. Right. When you're paying people more than $20 million to go away.
To go away.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take one call before the break, and we'll get to as many of you as we can at 1-800-520-1067. I think this is an interesting, and I think it's an important topic, too, because it does seem like every week or two, somebody else comes up with something bad that we have to then decide how we're going to handle that person if it's a public figure. Lee is up first. She's in Silver Lake, and she joins the conversation on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Lee. Thanks for listening and for calling.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Thank you. Good. What do you think?
Well, back in the day, in the 90s, whenever the first kid said about Michael Jackson, you know, accused him, he claimed that he had a spotted penis. Well, he had vitiligo, and I have vitiligo, and that's the first area that hits is your genitals and your hands. And
so you believe the guilt then?
Back then,
yeah.
Absolutely. I knew it without a doubt.
And okay. Can you listen to his music?
Yes, I can.
And
I love his music.
We all love his music. That's what makes this one particularly difficult. So how do you just compartmentalize it in your mind?
I'm a dancer.
Right.
Okay, so I dance.
Same.
That's one thing. So, it's different. It's different for me. I hear music. I can't not move. It's like...
Same.
It's, yeah.
Dance or die.
So... You're just willing to say, I'm going to accept that he's a terrible human and a child molester, but I still respect and appreciate and love his art. And that's okay. You can make that distinction in your mind.
I can, because I pretty much know that everybody has a dark side. Not as dark as his, but we got some darkness. And, you know, no one's perfect, so... You know, I kind of go that route.
I don't think no one's perfect applies when it comes to child molestation. I don't think you go, you know what? Pretty good guy, except for touching kids.
Right.
Yeah. I think you got to draw the line somewhere. But thank you. We appreciate the call, Lee. 1-800-520-1067. Quick break. Back with your calls next on camera.
All right. With all the information that's coming out about Michael Jackson and the child molestation, can you separate the artist from the music?
It's a difficult call.
Let's go to Christy in Ladero Ranch. Hi.
Hello. I was just telling them that I can't separate them. I can separate him when it was, like Dean said, Jackson 5 and even Off the Wall, because I think that's before he got into his weirdness. Uh-huh. You know, so I'm fine with that. But, you know, Thriller and everything thereafter, I can't listen to. Yeah. I boycott Jackson Brown, R. Kelly, and Chris Brown, because I don't believe in what they've done and I won't support it. So... but the previous music, I think that was before he became weird and a pedophile.
This is so interesting to me. So how about Chris Brown? Because Chris Brown had a lot of music before he beat up Rihanna. Can you listen to any of that?
No, because I don't really like it anyway.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
By the way, it's easy to boycott stuff you don't like. I will tell you that.
Yeah. I don't like that music. I'm not going to listen to it.
Great.
All right. So you've got a cutoff point. That's an interesting way to handle it, Christy. Thank you so much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. What are you doing when Michael Jackson comes on the radio? We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Sam Mendelsohn, Clark Gregg. Brie Larson, Samuel L. Jackson, all stars of Captain Marvel. Kevin sat down with all of them yesterday. We got that interview for you coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean and John Kerik. Very excited about hearing that. First, though, we're talking about what do you do with Michael Jackson?
There's a Billboard magazine poll that they put up yesterday that has a couple of thousand votes right now. Will you stop listening to Michael Jackson's music after the Leaving Neverland accusation?
Yeah, and I don't know if you've seen this HBO show yet, but it's very, very troubling.
Yeah.
It's the it's like the victims of him talking about it. And it, boy,
and
it's rough.
And it's detailed.
Yeah.
It's not skating over it because sometimes, and we found this out during the Me Too movement, when you hear the words sexual assault, that could mean any number of things.
Yeah.
They tell you exactly what it was.
Yeah. And you it's troubling. It's easy for you in your mind to think, yeah, it was sexual assault, but how bad was it? But then you find out how bad it was.
Yeah.
Will you stop listening to Michael Jackson's music after the Leaving Neverland accusations? Only 17% in the Billboard poll say yes.
I wonder if it makes a huge difference that he's dead, that you're not supporting somebody who should be in prison or somehow paying his debt, but he's dead.
I think that's a fantastic point because I think of what drives a lot of these other boycotts is you want justice.
Right, like R. Kelly.
In this case, you can't In this case, you can't get justice. We'll go right back to your phone calls. Let me read this email from Susan, Kevin Bean Lister in Virginia. I'm listening to what you guys are talking about today. I watched some of Leaving Neverland. I will no longer listen to Michael Jackson. It is immoral to support his estate. When there is demonstrable evil, we must say no. I love his music, and I love the video for Thriller, of course. I will do my best to never patronize his material, no matter that it hurts me. To say no to evil is more important than the joy I take in his product. This is a personal decision. It turns out that Michael's terrible behavior is greater than the joy of his art.
Wow. Jeez, can the author of that email be my publicist? That was amazing.
Well said.
Do you agree? 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Eric, Moreno Valley, up next, line 5 on the Kevin DeMean Show. Hey, Eric, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, thank you. What do you do with Michael Jackson music?
So I'll do this kind of hard, kind of fast because it's kind of hard. But as a survivor myself, from somebody that was really close to my family and somebody that I have to deal with pretty consistently, from a victim's perspective, I have to boycott Michael Jackson, even his early stuff, because just the name alone is going to remind you of what happened. And, I mean, you can only imagine as a victim when these things happen and it's somebody famous, it's going to be talked about constantly. It's going to be an insane reminder.
What a horrible thing you had to go through, Eric.
Yeah. And that's something that, and Eric, unfortunately, your story isn't that unique and that there's so many victims out there that are now going through this and they're replaying stuff that happened to them because of this.
Is this hard for you when it's back in the news, or does it give you some comfort knowing that it's, you know, that people are fighting back and that bad people are being taken down?
It's a little bit on both sides. You know, it's really hard because it's that reminder that there's monsters out there, that it happens, and it could be somebody close to you or it could be somebody famous that you're supposed to trust.
Yeah.
But it's also nice seeing, you know, this rise from people, this strength, this resurgence of I'm not a victim. And that definitely helps on that kind of day-to-day basis that I'm not alone, and there are people out there that have been through this.
Well, you're certainly not. You have our complete respect and thanks for calling in today. We really appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. All right, let's go to Corona and say hi to Jen, line 6. I have a feeling that that last brave caller may change some people's minds, too.
Hey, Jen.
Hi, how are you guys?
We are good. What do you do with Michael Jackson music?
You know, I used to be a huge fan. I used to stay up when they had the big premieres and, you know, watch it on TV. And, you know, when the first accusations came out, like everybody else, I thought they were just doing it for money. But after watching that documentary, listening to you guys talk about it yesterday, I was like, oh, I'll listen to it. And I tell you, man, it was gut-wrenching to listen to those men speak about how the sexual abuse and the details and the tears, and then they have sons themselves. And I just can't condone listening to Michael Jackson anymore because he caused so much pain. Amazing artist. I'm not taking that away from him, but I just can't. I mean, I'm a mother and I have children, and I just can't imagine, you know, that. And these people trusted him, and they broke up families, and it was really hard to watch.
It was very hard.
And that's one of the things that you find out when you have the crime of sexual abuse is there's never one victim. It's perpetual. When that happens, it spreads out. that person goes throughout their lives, and that trauma is oftentimes passed on to other people. And that's what's so, so horrible about the crime.
Jen, let me ask you this question, because I just got this from Steve in Covina 626. I think the boycott thing is ridiculous. He's dead. No harm can come to him by boycotting him. That being said, I'm not saying he was a good human, but the boycott doesn't do anything. What do you think about that?
I think, of course, you know, all the money still goes to the Jackson family, you know, and then it's really not even, I wouldn't say the money, it's the principle of it. It's the principle of that these men, and we don't even know all the other people that haven't come out. I mean, there you see that, like, families were broken up. People have died and, you know, they projected and worried about their own children and scared and manipulated. And I mean, that's the thing. And I think they're brave for coming out so that other children can see that this is not okay. And he used his power and his fame to manipulate not only these little boys, but the families.
Right.
And the turmoil, the mothers who blame themselves and all that. It's just, it's horrific.
But what about Tito? That's, I guess, what I'm saying. That's my point. Is it fair to Tito?
How's he going
to
eat? How's Tito going to eat?
I mean, how's Tito going to eat? I mean, I get the point, man. I mean, what are you going to do about Tito?
What are you going to do about Tito?
If there's no Brie Larson in this segment, I'm going to burn this mother down.
There's Brie Larson.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Yesterday at Tower Records on Sunset,
nice.
They made it all up for Captain Marvel. It was a big press thing. They did a Q&A on Twitter. They had some music there. Bush played. We're going to have Gavin in next hour.
Mm-hmm. I hope downtown Julie Brown was there.
She was there.
Wubba, wubba.
She was moderating the Twitter Q&A, Bean.
Oh. Well, she is the voice of the 90s.
And she spent most of the time talking about herself.
Okay.
Well, there's so much to say.
So after the Twitter Q&A, we went back to a trailer, and Brie Larson and Samuel Jackson and Clark Gregg and Ben Mendelsohn came walking into the trailer, and nice. we got to spend some time with them. And it was fun. Sitting here with the cast of Captain Marvel. Hey, guys.
Good morning. Good day. Good day.
Ben, Brie, Sam, Clark, welcome. I sort of hate being at the end of the whole... I feel like I'm at the end of the cycle. I've watched you do 1 million interviews.
Oh, why are you watching all of our interviews, dude?
I just thought, I'll just catch up. And then I realized...
Trying to find a question no one's asked.
All right, let's talk...
We're still learning so much about each other. We've spent a year together. Yeah. I spent
years with you. Out of the million? This is the first one this motherfucker's been to.
How does he get out of it?
He had a job. He claims he has a job in Atlanta.
You think he was lying? Sure.
No, because he got a little clammy when I brought it up to him earlier. He got a little clammy.
He's in Atlanta, but he had no per diem in his pockets.
Oh,
so
that's
I don't true. Believe that.
So you're lying.
I wouldn't say lying. I would say
exaggerating. Acting.
You know, I'm acting like I've got a job. It's a different thing.
So this movie comes out Friday, March 8th, of course, which is International Women's Day. Indeed. We always play music that all lead singers are women on that day. And was that picked on purpose? I assume it was. Brie?
I mean, I would hope so. It was planned 3 years ago, so yeah, I would hope. I mean, usually when you make a movie, everything's intentional.
This movie's set in the 90s. What kind of 90s stuff can we expect?
Blockbuster videos, computers, that's right, tech. Yeah.
Slow internet.
Sure. Yeah. Where it takes a half an hour to get a picture. They use technology to make you guys look younger.
Don't look at her when you
I'm not that. Looking at her. I'm looking at you two.
I asked them to, but they're like, we're busy. We can't help you.
We just took a nap, and then we were good.
Who took more technology? Which one of you? Be honest.
Me. I don't know.
You don't get a report card at the end. They're not like, here's your Bravo report card of who needs to wear more skin cream.
That's never been asked.
There you go.
I went into hair and makeup, and they all got really close to me, and they were like, oh, no. Oh, no. This is going to have to be digital.
There's another song that
I'm right here.
Yeah, we missed them or whatever. Lola wants.
Lola gets.
The process is Lola.
Okay. Let's talk about, Brie, your training. I told my daughter that I was going to interview you, and she sent me 20 videos of you training and martial arts and doing all that stuff. And here's a question you've never been asked. She says she'll pay you $20 to kick me in the head. And I said, $20? That's it.
I think you have to do a lot better than that. For that bad press that would come out.
Enough.
You know what I mean?
Right. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
At least double that.
Oh, no. More than that. Yeah. I mean, gosh, my publicist having to work overtime to deal with that story is going to cost a lot.
Oh, no. It wouldn't get out. Just
oh, really?
My daughter,
the private thing?
Yeah.
That's even weirder, actually.
I think the price just went up.
Did any of you get injured in this movie?
No, I mean, I got like cuts and bruises and things like that, but no, I didn't get anything. Did you?
Call it injuries, no.
No, but I mean, it's not like
I had a bad hangnail for like a week.
Oh man.
What is the first? What was it like the first time you saw the special effects on yourself? Like, you, Bri, you have a lot of special effects on. What was it like the first time you saw? I don't know, like when you're flying and you can see.
Oh, like when I saw the trailer or whatever?
Was it bizarre?
No, it's not. I mean, it's more bizarre from a technical point because some of that, it's like a full CG digi-double of me, so we didn't shoot anything.
Oh, interesting.
So you're kind of just seeing it for the first time. You're like, oh, that's what I do in that fight. That's cool.
I didn't know I did that.
But, you know, I feel like throughout this whole process, whether it's been like a poster or a toothbrush or the trailer, it doesn't feel like me at all. It just feels like a cartoon character that I'm looking at. So it doesn't make me feel much.
Sam, you talked about learning to use a lightsaber and how different it was when you had the costume on, the robes and whatever, and how much harder that made it sort of, or limiting that made it to do that. And I wanted to know about doing the stunts that you guys did.
She was just talking about that. I was thinking about that when you were talking about the suit.
How much harder
is it? It's at least 40% harder with really? The suit on. Yeah, that's why you kind of, depending on the stunt, you kind of build yourself up to it. So like the... there's I think it's in the trailer, I'm hanging upside down and I sort of break myself out of it. You have to break it down. So we're going to shoot that for 2 days of me hanging upside down. You have to be prepared. So they got me an inversion table and they would time me every day. So when I got into the gym every day, they'd hang me upside down and they'd see how long I could hold and then how much rest time I needed and then kind of figure out what my max time was. And then you start with like a simpler rig of hanging upside down just in like exercise clothes. And then you build yourself up to... then doing it but with my hands restrained and then doing it in part of the costume and then doing it with the full costume because in particular the chest piece is very hard so it requires a lot of effort to be able to because I'm pulling myself up. I'm pulling myself up with my own weight to knock myself
so
out.
So made it 40% harder to do
at least, yeah.
Those superhero costumes are a lot more complex than most people think.
You know, and Ben, what about you?
Well, that's it's same. The same deal. And they've got, like, we shot some of the film in summer in Louisiana, and that gets warm. But, yeah, they pump the cold water into the suit so you don't die and stuff. But that you know.
like just so you don't die.
Because it helps.
Yeah,
a lot of trial and error in that. They killed a lot of people before they discovered
yeah,
that.
And I was available, and that was just lucky. You know?
I see.
So I got the gig. But the first day one of the first days I worked was all that inversion stuff because, you know, we do that. Scrolls, we do that.
Scrolls are that kind of people.
And, you know, Brie came out and I had to hang on this. You know, it's, look, just as a guy that worked in film and seen, you know, plenty of stuff, it's very, very impressive. The skill set that was acquired by Ms. Larson, boom! Like...
Mic drop. He's really Mic making up for the city. Fact that he wasn't on the poster at all. Where have you been? You could have been my hype man for the last 2 months.
And I mean, there are any number of people in Hollywood who can shapeshift, but all of them cannot shapeshift and dramatically deliver and comedically deliver what Ben did.
That's nice. You guys actually seem to be having fun, which I love.
If you can't have fun, there's no point in doing it.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of times where you
this
can just tell,
this is our life, man. We got to enjoy it.
I know, but it's not a given on every set that everybody's getting along and having fun.
Well, so, that's stuff.
It's nice to see.
You know,
stuff.
That's stuff.
Like what, Sam?
Nobody likes everybody. But
are we talking about Clark?
No, of course.
Okay.
Hey,
I'm just checking.
Amazingly, out of all the people on that set, Clark is the one that I've known the longest.
Yeah,
because when I was shooting Pulp Fiction, when they were shooting Bruce and Uma and all these other people, I actually did a play here that Clark directed.
No kidding.
Like 5 blocks from here.
Yeah, right.
At the Cozy, amazing play. Won a lot of awards.
Coast Playhouse.
He let me direct him like twice. It was amazing.
It was awesome.
This movie is shrouded by secrecy. And a lot of you have worked in movies like that where it's like, oh, my God, you have to watch what you say in every single interview. People are trying to get anything they can out of you. Has anyone blown it? At any point, like where
you just made stuff up.
I made stuff up. I said she could time travel one time,
which was confusing for everyone.
Yeah. Anything else you want to tell us about the movie? It's out this Friday. Very excited about it.
Okay, so now's my chance to just spoil it all for you. So, what can we say?
Travel, the whole thing.
How many bombs can we drop right now?
I can make up some more.
By the way, I bought the time travel thing. I thought that was real. I saw it someplace.
There also,
I thought it was real.
Also, a lot of really famous people wanted to be in this movie, but we
couldn't hire. Marvel was like, no, we don't need you guys. You know, we'll find something else for them. But we did let a lot of them be Skrulls. And
is that right?
That's what it is.
Every Skrull you see has won an Oscar.
Every Skrull. That's all we can tell you. They're all award winners, but they're all Skrulls.
The Skrull Academy.
The Skrull Academy.
So, some are BAFTA winners.
A couple of BAFTA winners. Several nights we had to call them
one,
sir.
One was actually on Cats. Right. It was a cat on Cats on Broadway. On Broadway. The original cast.
Absolutely.
The London cast. Yeah.
Can I give a shout out to Marvel real quick? Do you guys mind?
Yeah, not
Marvel,
so
every movie, it seems like a home run. And that's not a given. It's not like just because the last three were good, this one's going to be good. They somehow are able to keep all the characters and intermingle them and make it make sense and make it great. What's it like working for a company like that?
Now, we have ultimate faith in the stories when we read them. You know, you kind of go, okay, this is going to be boss.
That's what I mean, but that's what it's about is like this. The story is good because to me, this is contemporary myth. So this is like telling very human stories. And I feel like we're able to talk about really deep concepts, whether it's just like human connection concepts or like global, even political concepts. And it's all through the guise of like aliens and space and stuff, so it's like a safer way of like looking at certain things, but it's also just entertaining.
And they continue to evolve in an interesting way. From Iron Man up, every movie kind of has to be better than the last one, so you know.
But I'm saying that isn't a given, and they do
it. No, it's not.
Somehow they do it. No, they keep expanding the world. Then you get Wakanda, and you're like, oh my god, how'd they do that? And then they have this, and I think they make amazing choices. The first time you see, oh, Sam's Nick Fury, oh my god. And then Brie as this character, Skrullin.
Yeah.
They just keep hitting it out of the park with the cast. I got to tell you, I'm really looking forward to it. And I appreciate the time today. And thank you guys.
Hope your daughter has a great time. You're going to have to buy.
Check out. See if you can name those Skrulls.
Yeah. Figure out who the celebrity. You can kind of tell by the body language which Oscar winner it is.
Is that right? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Hey, we're doing the Luke Perry thing next, right?
Yes, we are.
Yes. We've been paying
I've been a little off on the schedule.
Yeah.
Just double checking.
We have been paying tribute to our friend actor Luke Perry, who passed away yesterday after a massive stroke that happened last Wednesday. And I'm telling you, we're going to talk about him. We're going to play a clip from an interview from one of the other times that he came in on the studio and just kind of remember him a little bit. And we're going to be looking for you to weigh in. I just wanted to put it out there that in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to be asking for your phone calls because he was one of those guys who lots of people had the opportunity to work with, lots of people had the opportunity to meet, and lots of people had the opportunity to love. And we thought it might be nice to give a few minutes just to pay tribute to Luke Perry coming up right after 8 a.m. So if you are one of those people who was a had a big time crush on
Luke.
What do you
mean by those people, Bean?
I mean those people who were in the Luke Perry fan club.
You
met him, you loved him, you got a story about him. We want to hear from you coming up right after 8. First, though, in for Allie, here's Brad with what's happening on a Tuesday.
Well, that's the sad news, and I'm tired of delivering sad news.
Okay.
Let's talk about some hot Hollywood debate.
All right.
What's going to happen? It's Spielberg versus Netflix. Who's going to win? Tale of the tape. Come on!
What's the fight about?
Steven Spielberg, little upset that Netflix is now winning Oscars. The film.
Oh, he thinks purely movies in theaters?
Yes. He is a very purebred filmmaker.
But now, hold on, wait a minute, hold on. Didn't Netflix play by the Academy rules and
yes,
put
they did.
Roma in a theater for a week in 2018 as they needed to qualify it for Oscar contention?
Yep. Yes, they did.
Yep. Okay, that's the Academy's rules as far as I'm concerned. Netflix played by the rules and they won by the rules.
So you're overruling Steven Spielberg.
Well, let's hear what his contention is.
Well, right? Spielberg wants to change the rules now.
Oh,
because he's mad that some other guy got a best director for a little Netflix film. Steven Spielberg with your billions of dollars. And you're like, Brad, aren't you ruining your career by talking about Steven Spielberg on the air? Probably. He's never going to cast me in anything.
He's like,
you're welcome, Dinklage. I just got you more roles.
He's like, you can stay off my lawn.
Yes.
That's how I feel about him in this one.
He wants to have the movies be required to stay in the theaters for at least a month.
Most movies don't make it that long, do they?
They're like 2 weeks, and then we're on to the next one.
That's true.
I think this to me, sounds like the people that are like, no, we got to stick with coal, but we have electric and solar coming. Right. Like, it's like it's new technology. It's
okay,
better.
But let me ask you guys this question. Do you feel that, Kevin, you didn't see Roma, but obviously that was a big, big movie for a lot of people last year. But do you feel that seeing a movie on your television screen on Netflix is seeing a movie? Or does it not count in your mind as seeing a movie unless you actually get up and drive down to a theater and sit there and watch it on an 80-foot screen?
To me, a movie's a movie.
Yeah. And I would argue that sometimes the experience at home can be better than the theater if you're going, like, because let's face it, movies are getting more and more expensive. Snacks, parking,
sure,
the whole thing. For some people, that could be really tiresome on the budget. So you stay home. TVs are nicer than ever. They're cheaper than ever. And now you can get
Pictures better, sounds better than ever.
Yeah, you can get a great film experience at home. And I'll say this. There's a lot of movies that I'm watching now because they're on Netflix.
Right.
You
didn't see them in the theater.
Yeah.
But you're interested enough to watch it now.
Roma is not the type of movie that I would leave my house, park, get food, get all that, and sit in a theater to watch Roma in the theater. I would never do that.
Well, Mexicans is what I've heard.
That's what I've heard,
build
too.
A wall. That's what I have tattooed on my tramp stamp, okay? But all
but
I'm
you saw
say,
it and you loved it.
Yes. But I saw it. It was very artful, and I truly enjoyed the movie. But and I would never have watched it if it was just in theaters.
What do you guys think? Steven Spielberg is the 800-pound gorilla. He's still the biggest and best director of all time. What do you guys think? Where do you think Hollywood will come down on this?
I think
they're going to be Team Netflix, because I think Netflix is paying a ton of money and giving tons of exposure to lots of movies that never otherwise would have been seen. And
I think he loses this one.
Every week you're seeing new actors that you thought were strictly going to be, you know, and they're going on to Netflix. I know Ben Affleck has a Netflix movie coming out, you know, mm-hmm. and I think this is just kind of the wave of the future, and it's just kind of what you have to adjust to.
I agree.
Do I have time for one more quick story?
Sure.
All right, because I love this story. All right. Let's say you're on vacation, right?
Okay.
And you're out, and let's say you're in Iceland, and there's an iceberg that is perfectly shaped like a throne.
Okay.
What do you do?
Sit in it and take pictures?
You sit in it and take photos,
of
right?
Of course.
Well, that's what this family did, and they got their lovely grandmother to sit in the iceberg throne, and they're going to take some pictures of Nani. That's what they call her.
Mm-hmm.
Nani. But then global warming kicks in.
Oh, no.
And the iceberg breaks away.
Oh, no.
And Nani's going out to sea.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
What do you do?
She's going out to sea.
Yes, she's floating away on the iceberg throne.
I would say, we had a good run. Love you, bye.
Bye-bye, Nani.
Thankfully, there was a guy in a boat that happens to see Grandma floating by on a throne.
Wow.
And picks her up and brings her back. But I think the craziest part is that if you search for this story, the grandmother's son, her son, kept taking photos as she's floating out
Love
to
it.
Sea.
He should have. That's awesome. This is the last we're going to see of Nana.
Got to do it for the likes, Nana.
Thanks for the help.
You know, I mean, come on now.
Right?
So just be careful. Just be careful when you're out there. You don't want to lose Grandma. Although I will say, once your grandma starts floating out to sea, my stance, Viking funeral.
All right.
Take out some bows and arrows, light them on fire. What more honorable way to go out? But I just saw that story. I loved it.
That's pretty funny.
Look it up. See the photos. Oh, the panic in Grandma's face. She's fine. She's fine. She's back home. She's
imagine the guy in the boat that sees a grandma sitting on a throne floating in the ocean. Imagine. He must have thought, did I mushrooms this morning?
Mermaids are real.
What's happening? They're old, but they're real.
Let's get to some celebrity birthdays, shall we? Penn Jillette, it is his birthday today. Eva Mendes, his birthday today. Kevin Connolly, but that's not the one that we care about. We care about the singer of Electric Avenue, Eddie Grant. Oh, no, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue. You're welcome.
Song's gonna be stuck in my head all day.
As well it should be.
Brad, do you remember Eddie Grant's other big hit?
I mean, don't we all? The move it like you need it.
I don't know any.
The theme song for the Michael Douglas film Romancing the Stone.
Oh, well, God, don't we all just know that one?
That was his other one.
I mean, sing it if you know it, people, right? Hey now,
you're an all-star. Get your game on. There it is right there.
Right there, yeah.
Hey now.
Now, you know what? Now that you bring it up, I do remember that. I'm Brad Williams, filling in for Ally McBeal.
Hey, 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show, your 3-day passage to Ohana Festival at Doheny. It's going to be September 27th through the 29th. You can head on over to krock.com for another chance to win, but we've got them for you at 9 a.m. every morning this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. Eddie Vedder will be there, you guys. Hope he brings his ukulele and then maybe invites me up from the crowd to do a duet with him.
Sure, because you're so accomplished on
Well, we Ukers like to stay together, you know. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Incubus, and so much more. The Strokes. Get all the details at krock.com. All right, we're talking about Luke Perry. It was very, very sad news in Hollywood. Everybody who met the guy seemed to love the guy.
Yeah, there aren't. I mean, there are people like that, but he seems to stand out.
He really does.
You can't find a bad story about him.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
And especially nowadays when it seems like that's all anyone wants to do is find bad stories about celebrities and ruin their lives and careers. He just seems to be like, no, everyone's saying he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm. He, of course, is best known for Dylan McKay on Beverly Hills 90210, where he totally nailed that kind of James Dean bad boy guy. And, you know, a whole generation of people fell in love with him for that. But in the last 3 years on Riverdale, he has developed a whole new fan base. By the way, the CW series Riverdale has stopped production as of yesterday to allow their cast and crew members time to grieve. But here's what they had to say about Luke. And then we're going to go to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You're a Luke Perry fan. You got something you want to say? You met Luke Perry. You got a story about Luke Perry. We thought it might be nice to give him a few moments tribute here. Here's what Riverdale said. A beloved member of Riverdale, Warner Brothers, and the CW family, Luke was everything you would hope he would be, an incredibly caring, consummate professional with a giant heart and a true friend to all, a father figure and a mentor to the show's young cast. Luke was incredibly generous, and he infused the set with love and kindness. Our thoughts are with Luke's family during this most difficult time. That says about what everybody has been saying about Luke Perry this last couple of weeks.
Agreed.
And he was a good actor, too, by the way, on top of all of that. He was a good actor, and he was in a lot of things. Let's go to, let's make it Tiffany, please. La Mirada up first, 1-800-520-1067, as we pay tribute to Luke Perry. Hi, Tiff. What's going on?
Hi. How are you?
We're good.
Great.
Thank you
for calling.
I've been listening to you for like 20-something years, and I've never called you before. So, hello.
thank you.
First time, long time. I like it.
Thank you.
I used to do movie makeup, and I was a huge 90210 fan, like obsessed. And I thought he was going to be probably arrogant, like a lot of actors. So many countless actors were so rude, and he just was so sweet. And I walked in the makeup trailer, and it was the first time I've ever been really starstruck. Mm. And he was just kind and funny, and I had really, really long hair, and he was like, you know, to me and my sister, you guys can grow some hair, you know, and that was just the funny, you know, thing, the way that he was, like, just cool and relaxed and kind, and it just took me by surprise because I had worked with so many people who were awful, and he was very sweet.
Also seemed like he was paying, you know, close attention to you, commenting on your hair. It's not like he's just sitting there passively being nice.
But I think the most important story is that you said there are some people that are awful. Who are those people?
I knew I was going to get that question, but I'm not going to go.
Yeah, we don't need it.
That's okay.
Tiffany, I will tell you, because I went back and listened to one of the interviews we did with Luke Perry and the Kevin and Bean studio over the years, and it was season 3 of 90210, and he was America's biggest heartthrob at that time. I mean, everybody loved him. And he was so humble about it and kept it in such perspective. And he's like, look, I don't know why people care about me. I'm the same person I was before I got the show. But people are always asking me dumb questions, and people are, you know, always making up stories about me. I mean, he really kind of didn't let it bother him. He just was kind of true to living his life and doing his own thing.
Yeah, very down to earth.
Very much so. Thank you for the call, and I guess it'll be another, 25 years before we hear from you again?
Thank you. Yeah, I'll call you when I'm 60. Okay, bye.
Thank you, Tiffany. Thanks.
All right, appreciate it. All right, let's go to Jeremy Encino up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. He worked with Luke Perry, and this is exactly the kind of call we were hoping to get today. Hi, Jeremy. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're going to take it.
So I'll try and make it really brief. So I worked with Luke on a small film about 10 years ago. And he told me a story on set about how he'd come back from Cannes after he'd seen Passion of the Christ. Do you guys remember that?
Yep.
Yeah, of course, the Mel Gibson film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So anyway, he'd come out, and a bunch of reporters were always asking him, you know, his reaction to the film. And he would always do the same thing. He would take a deep breath and he'd go, Jesus. That's it.
That's it.
All he would say. Like, nothing else.
He would just say Jesus.
That's a sense of humor, all right.
Yeah.
And by the way, not wrong.
Not wrong. Yeah,
a lot of true. Jesus in that movie. Accurate. Thank you very much, Jeremy. Appreciate that. All right, let's go to Gil, Culver City, line 3 up next on the Kevin Devine Show.
Hey, Gil.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
All right, so similar sentiment to, I guess, Tiffany it was, but I was actually on the set of 90210 as a child actor when I was about, I think, 9 years old. And he just couldn't have been more down to earth.
That's great to hear because, you know, there's a difference between being nice to your peers or your the same age, but being nice to kids, that's something else, too.
And not exactly. And 90210 seems like one of those shows where there's constantly people coming in and out, playing different parts. So, and from what we're hearing, he was nice to everybody.
Yeah, and it's true. Like, you know, dealing with all the other actors, you know, not so nice, but he just made it seem so calm, and everyone was just super, super kind of stressed out, and he was just kind of like that beacon of light that calmed me down, because, you know, you're dealing with a lot of lights and directors and producers, and so it was really, really nice working with him, where I absolutely remember just working with him because he was so special.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you had such a pleasant memory of that, and it makes the loss even harder. Thank you, Gil. We appreciate the call. I mentioned having Luke Perry on the show, and one of the things that we talked to him about is, you know, at this time there were a dozen magazines out about all the people on 90210. You know, they were all just teen heartthrobs, and he was telling us that people always ask me the dumbest questions now because I'm on a TV show. They think I should have an opinion on everything, mm-hmm. and that's what we got into with Luke.
Right, my opinion now it should be no more valuable than, you know, than when before I got on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same opinion based on the same things, and now it's just more people want to hear it. I don't understand why
people think you know everything, though, don't they? They ask you any question and they think that you're an expert.
Yeah, they do. They do, you know, they somehow think I have this huge spectrum of knowledge about a lot of different things that I may or may not have. So they're just taking their chances.
I mean, for instance, Luke, I mean, I wish I knew more about nuclear energy.
Well, okay, what do you need to know?
Well, I mean, just for instance, what's the difference between fission and fusion?
Oh, see, that's easy. You see, Kevin, Bean, they're both nuclear reactions, but by different means. Now, in fission, the nucleus of a big uranium atom is split into smaller parts when struck by a free neutron. Uh-huh. If we control the action, we can get energy.
You mean like a nuclear reactor?
Exactly. KROQ's Kevin.
Good reader.
If we don't control the reaction, however, well, that's a different kettle of fish. Can we talk about Hiroshima for a minute?
Whoa, are you talking about a nuclear explosion, Luke?
That's exactly what I'm talking about, KROQ's Bean.
Well, then what's fusion, and how do they is that how they make, like, McNuggets and Hyundais?
So we had a lot of good questions.
What?
For Luke?
Nice to see you haven't changed,
why
Kevin.
Why would I ask that question?
I don't know, but he was awesome, and how do we not see Gavin Rosdale for 5 years and then see him 2 days in a row?
That's
like,
odd.
This is kind of crazy. Hey,
you can't get rid of me. You can't get rid
of
me. I'm like a Scottish drunk. You've got to kill me.
Seems right. Extreme, but all right.
I'm extreme.
Somebody get a stake to drive through his heart, if that's what it takes. How are you, sir?
I'm great. I'm really good, thanks. How are you
Your
doing?
Performance yesterday at that Captain Marvel event was fantastic. And I don't, and I, and I'm in, I noticed this about a lot of performers who have been around a long time, and you've been doing this a while now. The enthusiasm of you on stage playing your songs is the same as it was 10 years ago, is the same as it was 20 years ago.
Thank you. I love it.
Same as it was 50 years ago.
Same as it is years ago. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Kevin, that was so mean. It's so early.
Sorry. I just
After all that driving and all that getting here.
I'm sorry.
I love you too.
What about that, Gavin? Because, I mean, look, you know, we get up every day and come in and do the show. We do the best we can. We hope to entertain our audience. But, you know, some days it's harder than others. Is it the same for you? Are there times where you're just like, I cannot strap on this guitar.
I have a really, really, really simple philosophy about that, which is super basic, which is that if you can't play a show like it's the last show you're ever going to play, you shouldn't play that show. So it's real simple.
So do you not? Have you ever not played a show? Because
I always play the best I can. Right. Obviously, my quality, you know, can dip in and out like anyone, like anything. But the intent is always the same, and the enjoyment is always the same. And it's exciting for me, for K-Rock. Obviously, the history with me with this station has began my career. So any chance I get to to work with K-Rock is a great thing.
I enjoyed the when you stopped all of the music and just did it a cappella. I thought that was amazing and ballsy. You know what I mean? Like, it's just your voice, and it sounded great.
That's right. Thank you.
That was that verse of Come Together, right?
Of I think it was Glycerine, where I just stopped
Glycerine, yeah.
And I was sandwiched between two amazing pictures of Captain Marvel, so I felt very safe and like the greatest Oreo cookie in the world.
It wasn't a huge stage.
It was not a huge stage, but it was a fun stage.
Yeah.
You know, it was a stage built for radio.
Okay.
Did you...
I like that.
Did you get a chance to see the movie last night?
I did. It was
early
fun.
Review from Gavin Rossdale. Here we go.
Well, I thought it was a lot of fun, and it really ramped up and got going. And I think Brie Larson is a really great movie star, and Samuel Jackson, just you could just watch him forever, right?
Watch
him. Just he's just so great.
I've seen him in 100 things. I'm excited to see him every time.
I love it when he gets mad. Like he's a great mad actor. Like Harrison Ford is a great worried actor.
Right.
Harrison Ford's always worried. Samuel Jackson's always best when he's angry.
Stay after the credits, by the way. This is very important for this movie. Stay after the credits. Did you?
But I think we all know that by now with Marvel films in particular.
I needed to feel my body again. It was a little cold for me in there.
It was one degree, if that's what you're talking about.
So I went in search of a blanket and a warm red wine. I found both.
So Gavin was part of the Captain Marvel event yesterday that we were very happy to be co-hosting. And you are also here today because just announced is a very special tour. I mean, Bush has been on and off the road over the last 25 years, but you're doing something special this summer, including August 6th at the Greek. What's going on?
I mean, first off, the Greek, I don't even have that many milestones, the things I think about, but having lived in Los Feliz when I first moved to LA, and I could hear the bands, I could walk to the Greek. I saw David Bowie at the Greek,
amazing.
And I walked there. And it was a little further than I wanted to, but it was a romantic idea, and I did like the idea.
Kind of regretted it on the way. How far was it from your house to the Greek? Because I'm thinking that's like 4 miles.
No, it wasn't that bad. I was on Aberdeen, so is Vermont. But it's like everywhere in America. You know, I'm from this small little island off of Europe called England. And you can actually walk a block or two, and it doesn't really matter. You walk a block here, and you're like, that, damn, I drive that every day. No wonder the planet's going up.
It's an amazing idea on the way there, but
Actually, back was downhill, so that was actually easy.
Okay.
It was the way there I had the regrets, but that's okay. So to be playing there is incredible. That's an incredible thing for me. I'm just blown. My mind is blown. But yeah, we have this big tour with Live and in Canada, I think, with Our Lady Peace. But it's a really fun thing to be doing there with Live Nation. You know, we're partnering with them, and they're centering a lot around 16 Stone because it's a 5 years since it came out, but I like to obviously play those songs and keep people happy. But for me, it's a really progressive thing. Always, we're making a new record now. You know, I would like to come back and play that record if I'm allowed. That's what's exciting.
Says the guy who has no say.
Yeah, that makes two of us.
You've been fairly prolific since you got the band back together.
Yeah,
in 2010, you guys have made a bunch of records.
Yes.
So you still got things to say. 25 years since 16 Stone, though. I wanted to get into that for just a little bit because were you an overnight success story in some ways, or did you put years in before we heard of you in America?
Oh, my God. Of course, there's years that go into it because I was so terrible when I began. And so I had to kind of climb that slow mountain up to being average. So, of course, there's loads of years of it. I remember the first time I was on stage, this small pub in Herne Hill.
How many people?
Half Moon. I don't know, maybe a couple hundred, because, you know, 100, you know, well, maybe 80, something like that. But they were very big people.
And they were just there for the beer anyway.
They didn't know we were playing. And I do remember standing on stage. This is the very first show I ever did. And I was just trying to avoid, you know, job, school, regular stuff. I was just trying to avoid everything in my life. And being on stage, I was like thinking, this is the worst idea I ever had. What am I doing here? I'm an idiot. So I found my way through that, it's an incredible journey we've been on. I don't know what to tell you. You know, incredible.
I'm still loving it.
Well, we're going to take a break and come back more with Gavin Rossdale in a moment. We'll tell you more about the tour. But do you remember, was there ever a moment where the light bulb went off over your head and you thought, Music, that's my way out.
Yes, because what happened is that I found what I was a really terrible singer, but what I was better at was words, and I found that good.
Writing lyrics
was a nice, it was a really good solution to kind of tension. Like if you have a fizzy can of Coke, you know, lyrics was the idea of opening it so it could like release. And so I think my words were better than my voice for a while, and try to catch up with that. So that's when I first that. And I thought you were going to ask me when the penny dropped about that, like, this life was for me. Mm-hmm. It was when we first got a record, you know. And I, you know, excuse me, I'm from London, so I hadn't really heard of K-Rock.
Sure.
And when Kevin and K-Rock and the whole, all of you guys gave us that support, and we began. And it took off around the country. The first show we played was CBGB's in New York.
Is that right?
So it was the first show. It was the first show I'd ever played where anybody had heard a record of ours. And so I remember doing the sound check, and it's a very iconic club, you know, for people who don't know it. It's like all the, you know, the New York scene, Ramones.
Yeah, classic.
I mean,
yes.
Every single band ever. Of
Blondie,
any note,
Talking Heads, right?
Played there. And is when I couldn't get in, when we went out, and then I couldn't get in through the people to the club, to the back of the club. It just was so packed with, like, just the who I thought were the coolest people in the world. So that was
did you have to sing outside?
Incredible moment. I take my time coming through.
I
and sharing the bathroom with the public. It wasn't like even a private. It was like some corner you change in. You say, excuse me, I'm going to have a panic pee before I go on stage. You know? Super English.
You could have named the band Panic Pee. That would have been cool.
No, we couldn't.
I love that story, Gavin. And I know we have to take a break, but I love that story because most people who start a band, they think, I'm doing this because I love it, A, and B, because I don't want to be a delivery van driver. So it's just, if I can just make enough money to make the rent, it'll be worth it and I'll be happy. The last thing on your mind when you're making that first record is, we're going to conquer America.
Yeah, that's the last thing. Because it was,
yeah, it's not even in the realm of possibility.
The real truth about it is that the context is that was in the middle of Britpop. So me doing a band that was much more, had a sort of much more rock sound, much more what we'd call, I don't know what this word means, I don't ever say it anymore, the G word, grunge, I don't know what I mean, right? But that's what was inspiring to me. And so in a way, it was incredible commercial suicide. It was like, had nothing to do with being successful. It's the opposite, because all the bands I loved, like the Pixies, Throwing Muses, Breeders, Jesus Lizard, all those kind of underground bands, they all just played at a certain level. So it was only with the benefit of the support of radio and then with MTV that my life changed, you know, irreversibly.
He is an unlikely success story, Gavin Rosdale and his band Bush.
unusually cruel.
I'm just saying, according to Gavin's own words, it's the last thing we thought would work. Yeah. August 6th at the Greek, August 10th at the Pack Amp in Costa Mesa. Tickets are going on sale next Friday, March 15th at 10 a.m. through Live Nation. It's Bush and Live Together, both celebrating the 25th anniversaries of their first albums. We'll take a quick break. More with Gavin when we return after this on K-Rock. Our friend Gavin Rosdale in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I made a note on my social media, Gavin, yesterday that you were going to be joining us and asked if anyone had any questions. Let me run a couple by you real fast. Luciana says, Gavin will always be my favorite musician. He said the new album was going to be heavier. I wonder how much of their unique style will change. Is it industrial or something else? I love that metal industrial sound. Please say hi for me.
Well, hey, Luciana, that's amazing. The record we're making, nearly finishing, is super heavy. And but because of my voice is on it, it really has a very, it sounds like us. And,
it's bushy.
It's very bushy. It's very bushy. And a very healthy bushy and fun and wide and deep like the ocean. So that's what, yeah, I've been playing live and going out there. It just naturally progressed to a certain sound that I wanted to make, and I'm really, really, really proud of it. And
you say it's heavy, because it's Chris, your guitar player, right? Mm-hmm. Is amazing.
Yeah,
you can tell that he can do more than he's asked to do some days.
I hope he's not listening, but thank you for that.
No, I'm just saying, you can tell he is a great guitar player and will do whatever your vision is.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, for me, from writing the songs, you know, you just go into a detuned state, and that just creates a different sound. So I'm not a screamer, and I can't do the barking, but outside of that, it's pretty heavy.
When does that come out?
Well, that's not really my so much my lane, but I think the summer, my dream, obviously, on this tour, we will be playing a lot of 16 Stone, as it is, as we always.
He said ship.
I know,
ship,
but those were nervous.
As I said it, I was wondering myself, did I say ship?
I did say ship.
With a but it,
for
but,
the benefit of the person who has their finger on the dump button.
I hit the dump button, Bean.
Oh, you did?
I did because he said ship. I didn't know he said ship.
So it was you, because you said me. S-H-I, uh-huh. And then, you know, you took off the...
I got to do what I got to do.
You took my pee away.
I did. Oddly, I took your pee away.
That is so awkward. For 25 years we've known each other. It's okay.
So well, you were welcome. Saying you'll be playing some 16 Stone. You'll also be
play
playing
the new
some
song,
of the
hopefully
new
the
music
new
too?
New single. You know, so my dream, and what I say to my Peter Katz is my amazing manager, is I keep begging him that will we have a new song as well? Because I think that it's, you know, it's essential for me as an artist to really pay homage to all those songs that got me here. I don't like it when people play obscure set lists. It really drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. So you play the songs that people want to hear and they have their own memories to their soundtrack. But I think it's also essential for me as an artist to continue to move forward and to make things and be inspired by music as I am. I mean,
You're not an oldies act.
Right. So therefore, I've got to keep incorporating stuff so that you give predominantly things people know and then a new song. And
you're not alone in that at all, because most bands now put out a new song and then right. And then tour. It's like,
yeah, it's part of it, you know. Yeah. And there's nothing beats seeing a band you love and the song that you know so well. But there's a nice thing of being taken on a journey as well, just not like loads and loads of love times, you know.
Right. Delia writes in capital letters, I worry about you. We've lost so many on the alternative scene to drugs and suicide. Of course, reference to everybody from Chris Cornell to Chester Bennington to Avicii. I mean, it has been a terrible year for K-Rock artists for the past couple
Keith
years.
Flint yesterday.
Keith Flint just this week, right. Are you okay? How do you manage to stay so strong and bouncy? You inspire me in pretty much every way possible. Your music and your films. You don't know what I would do without your strength. So that's a very nice compliment from Delia.
Beautiful.
But you've got the same struggles that everybody else does, and you're in a business that puts a lot of demands on you. How do you keep everything straight?
Just real simple kind of... I just love what I do so much. You know, I love my children, and I love my job, and, you know, I'm going to live forever. So it's really simple.
That's good to hear.
There's no way around it. I mean, you know, with Chester and with Chris, you know, it's an incredible opportunity to highlight mental health issues.
Yeah.
Because there's a far too many suicides every single day. That just highlights that tragedy. I don't have that. Like, I love life. I'm blessed with most beautiful children, and I wouldn't, you know.
Happy birthday, Apollo.
Yeah, thank you very much. So, you know, there's no way I could leave them. And the most tragic sight I think I've ever seen, I cannot unsee, was being at Chris Cornell's funeral, who I did love and respect on every single level. Was seeing his son, Chris, age 12 years old, and I have a boy at Kingston who's 12, going to be 13. Saw him standing after the service where Chester had sung Hallelujah at the graveside. And when I saw him standing there sort of, you know, protecting and just not knowing what to do as a 12-year-old boy, I mean, and this just goes back to what I was saying about, you know, the help that people need, the support that people need, and the whole mental health issues that this highlights. That was just an image that I will never, ever be able to unsee. And so I'm so sorry for this family. People ask me all the time about, you know, what I think about music and the state of, you know, people that commit suicide. And I always go to the families. I always go to the real life, to the every single day. And the pain that, you know, with Vicky Cornell and with the children. That's what I think about first and foremost. And so, Delia, there's some really beautiful things you've said to me. I promise you. It's like, I look at like being in this music world as being like in a dance competition. I just don't want no one to tap me on my back.
That is very inspiring, Gavin. Can I call you if I'm feeling a little down?
Always. Always.
I appreciate that. All right. In honor of the 16 Stone 25th Anniversary Tour, and again, dates just announced August 6th at the Greek, August 10th at the Pacific Amphitheater in Costa Mesa. Tickets going on sale next Friday, March 15th at 10 through Live Nation. And this is a double bill with the band Live, by the way, who we also love here at K-Rock. We thought this might be fun in our remaining couple of minutes, Gavin.
Uh-oh.
To let you play a little game that we...
Uh-oh.
Yes.
I'm going to fail.
This is
I
how
feel
we,
a failure coming
This
on.
Is how we give away tickets. It's one of the games that we play to give away tickets.
Is it multiple choice?
It's not. What we're going to do is we're going to play a song of yours backwards.
Oh, okay.
And see if you can identify it.
Okay.
Because sometimes that's really difficult.
Sometimes.
I mean, I know you wrote it. Let's see how you do.
Sometimes people, I wonder if people think I'm the devil, but so I should know better. But so let's see. All right. Try me on.
Here's the first one.
That's amazing. Can I have more time?
Nope. Look, this is all we give the listeners when we give away tickets with this game. What song, what Bush song is that, Gavin?
Does this mean I can't play the Greek?
No. You're good.
If I screw this up, am I not going to... Zen.
Everything's Zen, yeah.
But, all right. You know, yeah, okay. Okay. I knew from well the done. Okay. Thank right. you. Thank you.
Next one. Mm-hmm. There you go. You sound like the devil.
It sounds better. Is that weird?
I don't think that's true.
I heard I buried Paul in there. Is that just me saying that? Or
what song was that?
That was really difficult. I knew it was Zen because I could hear the guitar sound. Mm-hmm. So I just knew it for the guitar tone, to be honest. Not giving my David Blaine-esque tricks away. more like Darren Blaine. But
who was that one?
Oh, my gosh. I just literally, I don't know. I don't
can
know.
All right, can you name any other Bush song?
Oh, can I? Yeah, most of them.
By the way, he just said Come Down.
I said Come Down. Oh.
Was that a guess?
No.
Okay.
You knew all right, did you get that one
no,
right?
I know the whole time. I wasn't sure. I got it right.
All right, he's two for two. Let's do one more.
Oh, come on. Right, well, I can't get 100%.
I hope someone's alarm just went off
that
doing
is,
that.
Me too. That is definitely better. That is definitely better. Was that Little Things?
It was. You're good at this game. That's pretty good.
I can go backwards. I can reverse backwards. I can park. I'm from London. I can park in small spaces.
Gavin, we will see you at the Greek.
That's and the best thing I ever heard. Bean say to me,
thank
see you,
you
the Greek.
So much for stopping by and for your continued patronage of the world-famous K-Rock over the past 25 years. I hope there's 25 more, my friend.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56. Is there anyone nicer than Gavin Rosdale?
He's a pretty cool dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he wouldn't let me in the studio, so he obviously just hates midgets.
I mean, that was us.
Oh.
But I mean, hey! I mean, I think when you're so ugly, I think you have to develop an extra personality.
Sure.
You just have to be nice to people so they'll talk to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to live with that face, that body. Hey, Brad is in for Allie McKay. We're hoping she's feeling better and we'll be back tomorrow. But in the meantime, what's happening here on this Tuesday?
Well, if you saw the Academy Awards, hopefully you saw the award for Best Documentary go to Free Solo.
I did.
And hopefully that inspired you to go see that movie.
It did.
Because it is awesome. It is amazing.
It looks like it would be.
It aired on Nat Geo last night or the night before. I recorded it. I am looking forward to watching it, but I feel like it's going to be a butthole clencher. I'm really, even though you know he makes it because he was on stage to accept his Oscar, so you know he doesn't die.
Spoiler alert, Bean.
Right? I still feel like it is going to be terrifying.
Well,
to watch this guy climb this mountain with his fingernails.
It's funny you mention that, Bean, because we are living in a time where people get offended and people get enraged about everything.
Right.
Now, you would think, how could you get offended at the movie Free Solo?
That is weird.
It's just a guy climbing a mountain.
It's so amazing. Well, people are claiming that that the movie gave them so much anxiety.
Oh, stop it.
That they should never air the movie. Because it gives people anxiety.
Oh, you know what you should do if you have anxiety? Don't watch it.
If only we had more channels, Kevin.
I mean, come on.
We have no other entertainment options. It's everyone knows you go to any home, it's just Nat Geo 24/7.
By the way, anxiety is a real thing. But
yes.
If this is causing you anxiety, go away from it.
Yes.
I mean, it seems
I agree.
Obvious.
Large dogs give me anxiety. So I
and
don't.
They should.
So I don't
because
hang around
you're a
large
chew
dogs.
Toy to large dogs.
Exactly. I say that as I own a pit bull. But whatever.
Look, here's another point that we've made consistently over the years on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah.
Not everything has to be for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's not for you, move on.
And that's okay. They don't need you. They already got the Oscar.
Right.
They're fine.
I'm going to watch that, though, you guys.
Well, please let us know if you have anxiety and or vertigo.
And I wonder, I mean, I know this is a dumb question, but like I would never, it's El Capitan, right? At Yosemite is what he climbs. Who looks at that and says, I need to climb that with just my hands?
Yeah.
This
Who
dude.
Looks at that and says that?
And I think that guy gets laid for life, right?
Most likely.
Oh, yeah.
He just walks around going like, some guy's like, well, I did, you know, I saved a cat from a tree. It's like, did you climb Yosemite with your bare hands? He and the guy that punched out the shark and the mountain lion should just hang out
sure.
and clean up. Go to the Saddle Ranch on Sunset and just clean up. It would be ridiculous.
He walks around with copies of his documentary to hand out at the club.
I would.
He should. Well, I know why you guys have me in here. I know that when Allie is sick, mm-hmm. I know why you call me in here.
Why?
You call me for your late-breaking Lucky Charms news.
Oh, all right. These are your people.
Now we're talking.
These are my people. I have inside information.
Now, a breaking news bulletin.
I called the tree yesterday.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Lucky Charms.
We interrupt this program to bring you breaking news.
I hate you. Lucky Charms.
Live, local, late breaking.
I'm gonna punch you in your kneecap. Lucky Charms.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin.
One of my favorite cereals.
Well, Kevin, it's about to get even better.
Yes.
Lucky Charms.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Yes, I
need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's right here.
It's up to you, Brad. This time, I will not interrupt. We want to hear about Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms.
And now for another fast-breaking news story, we take you to Kermit the Frog.
Well, okay there, everybody. Hi-ho and Lucky Charms.
Please finish the story, though.
Has released a limited edition chocolatey winter cereal.
Yay! I've had chocolate Lucky Charms, and they are amazing.
And you've probably had Frosted Flake Lucky
sure,
Charms.
Sure.
But now, you have a new bowl of magically delicious cereal to dig into for a limited time. Chocolatey Winter Lucky Charms. This consists of chocolatey corn cereal with winter marshmallows, snowflake, snowman shapes, and a family-sized box that's less than $4.
In.
That does sound good.
Come on!
In.
Come on with the come on!
All in.
Come on.
Hey, what do you want from us? I'm saying all in.
I'm saying let's go.
Okay.
I'm saying we don't have to do the last hour. We can go get the new winter edition chocolate Lucky Charms.
I'm in. Again?
All right. Well, now let's get to some celebrity birthdays, everybody. Penn Jillette. We love him. Go see his show at the Rio. He's a magician. He's a comedian. It's his birthday. He's awesome. Eva Mendes' birthday today. Kevin Connolly's birthday today. But we all get to boogie and we all get to get funky because it's Eddie Grant's birthday today.
Debbie Likey.
Casey with the finger on the button just flipped us all off.
She should've.
I don't know why. Apparently she hates awesome. She hates fun. But I'm Brad Williams. I'm filling in for Ally McKay. And
you know, the president, your president, Chip, says that global warming is a hoax because it's cold in some places. And I can't argue with the science there, but there are three very quick stories that I want to do about the snow. Kevin, I know one you saw is the guy who was stranded in his car in Central Oregon.
Yes.
For 5 days, you guys.
Yeah.
In his car for 5 days. Now, I know that I know the advice. I see it on the news all the time. Hey, if you get stranded in a snowbank, stay with your car. Wait till somebody comes and finds you. Do not get out and attempt to walk.
Right, but after 2 full days, don't you go, I'm going to die here.
I'm going to die in a Tercel.
Right? Yes, you do. Was not my dream.
Just me.
Absolutely, Kevin. You think after a certain amount of time, and maybe 2 days is your number, you think, they're not going to find me. There's nobody out here. There's too much snow. It's on me to get to some sort of shelter or to find somebody to flag down or to a doorbell to ring or something, right? Well, this guy did try to get out, but there was just too much snow to even hike out from where he was. The snow was too deep. And that's the thing about the winter storms this year in so many places. There are people who cannot even begin to shovel their driveways because the snow is taller than they are.
Yeah.
So there's nowhere to start.
As a 4-foot man, this absolutely terrifies me.
Sure. Of course.
So he was, for 5 days, Jeremy Taylor, 36 years old, Sun River, Oregon, was stuck in his vehicle. He was finally come upon by a snowmobiler. And he says that the only reason he's still alive is that he was eating taco sauce packets for 5 days.
Taco Bell hot sauce for five days.
5 days.
That just sounds like a Kevin vacation.
Taco Bell fire sauce saves lives, he says. Miraculously, he and his dog are both in good health, but they were obviously very, very hungry.
So and his dog.
And his dog, Allie. Sorry, Allie. thing two, this happened in Lake Tahoe, I think on the California side. And this is a woman who was illegally parked, and the snow plow came along and covered her car with snow. It was plowing the street and just right on top of her car.
Sweet.
Thank you, Michael Winslow Bean.
Here's what happened to her.
And it may be a little hard to distinguish, but if you look at this video, look at your screen now. This is a car buried under a ton of snow. And guess what? There was a woman stuck inside. Earlier this month, a snowplow driver was clearing the roads in South Lake Tahoe, California. His plow hit the car that was, by the way, illegally parked. So lesson learned, right? When they began digging...
Hey, she's homeless and living in her car and just got stuck in a snowbank. Maybe now's not the time to parking shame her.
Lesson learned, huh?
Throwing shade.
Seriously, give the woman a break. She's lucky to be alive.
When they began digging it out, they saw a woman waving for help. According to local media, she may have been living in her car.
Living in her car?
She says that as if it's never been done before. Living in a car?
People do sexual favors behind a dumpster for money?
So you're asleep in your car, and all of a sudden the snowplow comes by, and then you are just under an avalanche, basically, of snow. And I guess you can't even open your door or anything, right? Because there's so much weight that you literally are just stuck there. It has to be pitch black dark, I would imagine, in there, too.
Does she have hot sauce?
It doesn't say whether she had hot sauce or not. But imagine how terrifying that must be.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
To not have any idea how long it's going to be before somebody comes along and finds you, or the snow starts to melt or whatever.
Or if they come
along.
She said
she had been there for several hours. Her rescuers think it may have been longer just because the amount of snow, but reportedly she is okay. Can't imagine. Couldn't have been comfortable, right?
That's a great comment. That's a fantastic
That is
sign.
Some in-depth news reporting.
Couldn't have been comfortable,
right?
I mean,
yeah, you got the guys that busted Nixon and this reporter. They're all in the same category.
Do you think she enjoyed it? Did she have a good time? All right, so that's thing two. And thing three of our weather roundup is this lady who you will fall very deeply in love with if you haven't seen her yet. Her name is Diane. She's in Brooklyn. And the media are going crazy, as you can imagine, as many people are in New York because they've had so much snow. I think they got about another 8 inches of snow yesterday, and they're over it. They're tired of it. They're complaining. This lady is pointing out, hey, it's winter. Hey, it's winter. It's winter, you guys. What do you expect? We live in New York, and it's winter. Please meet Diane.
We get mad because of snowing, but it's winter outside. I mean, we are a bunch of weird people, okay? If it was summer and it was snowing, yes, it is winter.
I mean, she's making a great point.
That is a good point.
Man. How surprised can you be by snow in the winter? It's not July.
Tracy Morgan's mom is mad.
Diane Joshua has strong feelings about the snow.
It's winter, hello! It's winter! Hello, about 3-4 weeks ago, it was what? 3 degrees outside. It's a heat wave out here now.
So she's looking at the bright side. She's like, look, it was 3 a couple of weeks ago. Now it's 30.
Glass half full.
Yeah. Optimist.
What's everybody complaining about? It's winter and it's cold. Deal with it.
Hello, it's winter. Yes. I'm not surprised. I love it. It's winter. Let's work with it. This is a heat wave. heat wave. 3 degrees 3 weeks ago. How soon we forget.
I'm like not it. A big fan of that person that's yelling, it's a heat wave, when you're miserable.
No, yeah, it's, yeah, that's the person that when you're drowning and your yard is flooded, they're like, we need the rain. You're like, not now. Not now.
I hear what you're saying, but I am still Diane 2020.
You
I'm
are.
Okay. I really am. I'm Diane 2020.
Team Winta.
I'm Team Winta. Yes, thank you. Winta is coming, you guys, and apparently it's already here.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:42.
Ahead of Brad, some old business. Sergey Durganov from Reseda. He won 2 3-day general admission passes to the Ohana Fest at Doheny State Beach at the end of September. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at ohanafest.com. You don't want to miss this because Eddie Vedder's performing, also The Strokes, Chili Peppers, Incubus, and so much more. Another chance to win, and your details at krock.com. All right, Brad, in for Ali one more time for what's happening on this Tuesday.
First of all, that's not a real name. Sergey Durganov.
I mean, it is.
No.
Durganov.
I refuse. He is.
You will not allow that first name with that last name.
No.
That's your problem.
Unless you're a forward for the Detroit Red Wings, your name is not Sergey Durganov. It's not a thing.
Maybe he is.
Maybe he is. That's true.
Doubt it. I call shenanigans. Well, with all the sad news that's been going on the last couple of days with celebrity death, it's hard to imagine there's even more bad news happening.
Man, you're a
bummer. I
thought
you were going to turn it around this time. I thought this was going to be the one where it was going to be all sunshine and lollipops.
No, but see, that's why you give the dwarf the opportunity to give you the bad news. It's not as bad when the dwarf tells you the bad news. You're like, but he's cute.
That's true. Everything is better coming from a dwarf.
All right. So what is this one?
Well, Mark Zuckerberg used to be the youngest self-made billionaire in history.
Mm-hmm.
He has been replaced.
Okay.
There is a new youngest billionaire in history.
Youngest billionaire.
Coming in at age 21, Kylie Jenner. She is officially now
a billionaire. Wow.
You hear that, people? And all right, Forbes magazine says self-made. Wow. I will fight you, Forbes magazine. Self-made.
Now, forgive my Kardashian ignorance.
Okay.
Both of the younger sisters are very pretty, but one of them is a model. Is that Kylie?
Yeah.
Is she the model?
She's the model? No. She has the makeup line? No.
Well, no, she's not the model.
Kendall.
That's Kendall.
Kendall is the model. Kylie has the makeup line.
Yes. Kylie's got the makeup line. So that's what has put her over the top.
Yeah.
Which, listen, I'm a dude. I don't wear makeup. But why are you buying the makeup line from the one that looks like she's been, like, artificially injected with everything?
I think she's pretty, too.
Have you seen the photos of her when she was, like, 14, 15? And
no,
I know
everybody looks bad at 14, 15.
No. That's, but then, like, the change, like, that's not... I get there's puberty, but that's not natural.
She had a ton of plastic surgery, like Ivanka Trump. Ivanka Trump, if you see pictures of her from 15 years ago, you won't believe it's the same gorgeous woman you look at today.
Who hurt you, Brad?
Listen. All I'm saying, I have a problem with people saying self-made billionaire. I don't think she was in a lab with beakers and Bunsen burners, like, pouring over a bunch of things going, I gotta come up with the perfect makeup here.
I mean, the attention on her family, of course, played a huge part of that.
Yes.
Of course.
But she had to, I mean, I assume this product is decent or people wouldn't line up around the mall every time a new line is announced.
Yep.
Right?
I would imagine.
I went to a mall and there was a line of probably 300 to 400 people. And I was like, what's going on?
It's
going
to be a shoe drop or something.
And it was the first time that she was putting out a new product, makeup line or whatever, and they were all waiting.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
I don't understand it.
More power
I don't
to her.
Like it.
Okay.
Get off my lawn. I don't accept it. Why does this anger me so much?
I don't
much?
Know. It doesn't bother me.
It shouldn't. My life is good.
It sounds like she earned it. It sounds like she had a leg up with a famous family, but that she created a product that people want to buy.
I mean,
they ruin everything. They're ruining that. They've ruined careers. They ruined the career of Lamar Odom. Now they're ruining Blink-182.
They're not.
They're ruining Blink-182.
They're not.
It's going to happen.
It isn't.
Rumor Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian are now dating, which, if the Kardashian track record holds true, bad things in store for Travis Barker.
Travis is strong enough that he might make that family better. He might. That's a tall order, I know.
2 weeks is going to come out. The Kardashians are Mormon now. What? How'd that happen? Travis Barker.
All good.
So I wish them the best, but at the same time, just don't ruin Blink-182.
All good.
Well, I mean, we talked about Kylie Jenner being a billionaire. Maybe she can give some of her money to rapper Young Dolph, because he definitely needs it right now. You may remember him. He had a song called Cut It. Don't know how it goes. I'm not in the hip-hop community. I'm from Orange County.
So we forget.
Was that it? I still don't know. Well, he recently got $500,000 of jewelry stolen out of his car while he ate at a Cracker Barrel. What do you think the average income is of the average person eating at Cracker Barrel?
$17,000 a year.
That's what I'm thinking. How
these
you
are
rolling?
My, these are my people you're disparaging. I'm thinking about going to Cracker Barrel today, by the way.
Which, by the way, the nearest Cracker Barrel is how far from you, Bean?
32 miles.
And you're going!
I'm in the mood. I can't
what
help
is
it.
What's wrong with you? Are the grits that good?
The grits are pretty good.
You live in a city with real restaurants, though.
You live in New Orleans!
I know. Every restaurant in New Orleans is closed today for Mardi Gras. So if I want pancakes, I'm going to have to leave the city.
Not Cracker Barrel. They're open.
Yep. Well, they're in Slidell. They're almost to Mississippi. That's why.
Sounds like a very worthwhile road trip.
Why are you so bad?
And then I'm going to leave $500,000 worth of jewelry in my car when I go in for my pancakes.
Excellent.
And you would think, like, well what does $500,000 jewelry even look like? Was it just, like, one necklace that was just completely diamond-studded out? No, it was a few things. He was keeping this all in his car. I have, like, an old Dunkin' Donuts coffee cup in my car.
And you're worried about it.
Yes! It's very valuable to me. He had a watch worth $230,000.
Wow.
Two diamond chains. Another watch for $85,000. Cartier sunglasses, $24,000. That first watch, $230,000, that's a down payment on a house.
No kidding. Wow.
So
that's crazy.
All gone. They were stolen out of his car. Well, which, by the way, his car, which makes the story even better, is a Mercedes camouflage SUV. Camouflage does not work, people.
Yeah. Way to blend in the parking lot of the Cracker Barrel.
I'm guessing it was on rims as well. There were no signs there could be anything valuable in that car. So, yeah. People, general rule of thumb and a tip from your friend Brad Williams. Don't keep $500,000 worth of jewelry in your car.
It's a pretty good tip.
I know what y'all thinking. You're thinking, damn, where'd he get all that bling from?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Let's get to some celebrity birthdays, everybody. Penn Jillette, it's his birthday today. We know him. We love him. Go see his show at the Rio. Eva Mendez's birthday is today. Kevin Connolly's birthday is today. But the reason why we party, Eddie Grant.
Oh, no, we're going to rock it down to Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher.
I love how much Casey hates this right now.
Same.
She's giving stink face. And then we'll
take my disappointment is immeasurable.
Okay, it's not that bad.
And my day is ruined.
Okay, sorry.
How do you hate Electric Avenue?
She hates
it. Again, better. Do it again.
Yeah. I mean, if you really listen to it a second time, Casey, I think you really feel the beats and the melodies and what they were going for. But like, I mean, they want to rock, but not anywhere. They want to rock down to Electric Avenue. Maybe third time. Maybe.
I don't feel like this is working.
I mean, as if Electric Avenue wasn't already rocking. They're going to take
What's
the rock to.
What's going on?
I will tell you, we should enjoy that song while we can before something bad comes out about Eddie Grant.
Well, listen, you know what? We should just play it again then.
We've heard it enough.
We had Bree and Samuel and Ben and Clark from the Captain Marvel movie a few minutes ago, and I hope you heard that and enjoyed it. Great interview, Kevin. But if you weren't with us earlier today because you're lucky enough to be able to sleep in, you missed our discussion with the listeners about whether we can still enjoy Michael Jackson music. That was fascinating. We also had a nice tribute to Luke Perry on the program earlier today, including hearing from people who knew him and worked with him, and how spectacularly fun was Gavin Rossdale's visit to the Kevin
Eugene
Show.
He's always great.
Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. We played a fun game with him, too. So if you're late to the party, don't forget the Kevin and Bean podcast is available wherever you get yours, including KROQ.com and Radio.com.
Brad, thanks for filling in again.
Hey, no worries. And I'll be back tomorrow because, once again, R.I.P. Allie.
I hope Allie's going to be back tomorrow.
She won't
we
be. She's gone.
We haven't heard from her today, but she has been getting better. So fingers crossed we'll see her tomorrow.
We love you, Allie.
On your drive home today, tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, the Ace Man, Adam Carolla, joins us in studio. How long has it been, Bean?
I can't even remember the last time we had him in person, but I'm delighted to spend some time with him. He is celebrating the 10th year of one of the world's most popular podcasts, The Adam Carolla Show.
His middle name is Lakers.
Literally is.
So we're going to talk Lakers tomorrow, too, because it doesn't seem like they're firing on all cylinders.
You think?
They may be having problems.
You lost to the Clippers.
Right?
The Clippers.
And Daniel Fisher will also be in studio. Topanga from Boy Meets World. And
how'd we get
Jensen's wife.
Is that why Jensen's coming back?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.